Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We'll begin singing our first hymn after the ringing of the bell. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And I pray thee of thy utmost mercy, and for the sake
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this sin, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The cords of Sheol entangled me.
The snares of death confronted me.
In my distress, I called upon the Lord.
From his temple, he heard my voice.
I love you, O Lord, my strength.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer.
For you save a humble people.
But the haughty eyes you bring down.
You have equipped me with strength.
And made my way blameless.
For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations.
And sing to your name.
The cords of Sheol entangled me.
The snares of death confronted me.
In my distress I called upon the Lord.
From his temple he heard my voice.
Consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
Question 51. What is the significance of the Sabbath for the church today? Although God no longer requires us to observe the Sabbath day, Saturday, and other particular holy days of the Old Testament, this commandment continues to apply to our Christian life and worship. Colossians 2. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. We continue to need not only our physical rest, but most importantly, rest from the impossible task of seeking security, righteousness, and salvation through our efforts, work, and accomplishments. Mark 6. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Hebrews 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, lest us fear any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Again, Hebrews 4. Whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. And they suggest that you read Psalm 127, Mark 4, and Hebrews 4. The Sabbath was a sign pointing to Jesus, who gives us spiritual rest from the burden of our sins. Matthew 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Revelation 14. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write this: Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." And they want you to read Psalm 23 and John chapter 5 and John 7. God wants us to be regularly engaged with his word and carry it in our hearts and upon our lips. God's word is the treasure that sanctifies everything. Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. 1 Timothy 4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God in prayer. Therefore, Christians gladly hear God's word and set aside time to worship on Sunday, the day Jesus rose from the dead. We also recall the wonders of our triune God by observing the seasons and special holidays, holy days, of the church year. Indeed, Christians engage in the word of God daily. In their devotions and prayers, God's word delivers what it promises. Romans 14. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. And they want you to read Matthew 12. The important thing about a day of worship is that we focus upon what God has done for us, especially in his Son, who is the Lord of the Sabbath and establishes God's new creation. The Old Testament reading for Septuagesima is found in Exodus, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, encamped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." But Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, Go on before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel, also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there upon the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the people the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord not among us?" Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual in your bulletin. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed.
A stronghold in times of trouble.
And those who know your name put their trust in you.
For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten.
And the oath of the poor shall not perish forever.
Arise, O Lord.
Let not man prevail.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Christians in Corinth, the 9th and 10th chapters. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperament in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock is Christ. But with most of them God was not pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the tract. Out of the depths
I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities,
O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness,
that you may be feared.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 20th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 1. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out again about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give to you.' So they went. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive.' So when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. When they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'His last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, am I doing you no wrong? Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as you.' Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is the eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of Light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
Salvation is a matter of faith, not works. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the first thing you need to realize about this parable of our Lord Jesus is that he is not teaching you what a master of a vineyard is like or how a vineyard is to run. Rather, he is teaching you what the kingdom of heaven is like by comparing it to a master and vineyard unlike any you would ever find upon this earth. I mean, no employer would pay his workers who worked 1 hour the same as his workers who worked all day in the hot sun. In fact, no employer would go out in the last hour of the day to hire workers for that day. Nevertheless, this is the way God works. The grumbling of those workers who work all hours of the day is the grumbling of the works righteous against God and his kingdom. Your saints in Christ. The laborers who agreed to a denarius a day grumbled when those who worked just an hour got paid the same as them, who bore the burden of the day in the scorching heat. He made us equal, they complain. And this, of course, teaches you about the kingdom of God. It makes you equal. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, no male and female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. The reason you are all equal is because you all receive the same gift, receive the same Jesus, the same baptism, the same Lord's Supper, the same forgiveness and salvation. And this greatly upsets those who are proud of their great labor and think that they deserve more than others. Instead of seeing the Master's generosity as a sign of great love, they resent him for it. Now the term works righteous refers to people who think that they are righteous before God by their own works. In other words, they think they deserve a reward from God. In several places, Jesus preaches against works righteousness. In Luke chapter 17, he says, "So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" Oh, would that you could say that. Would that you have done that done your duty. Nevertheless, you know that you have not even done that. You have not done what God commanded of you. It was commanded of you that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But none of you have done that. It was commanded of you that you love your neighbor as yourself. None of you can claim to have reached such a level of selflessness. This is why St. Paul writes to the Christians in Galatia, "For all who rely upon works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" So while the works righteous grumble against God because they see that God's grace makes everyone equal, they fail to realize that God's law has already made everyone equal by condemning one and all as a sinner. Again, the Word of God declares, "None is righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Nevertheless, if you do not realize that the law has condemned all, then you will not recognize how wonderful it is that the gospel saves you all. Again, Scripture says in St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, "For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all." In other words, God has convicted everyone of sin so that he might save them by his grace as a gift. Just as all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, all are justified by God's grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. You see, the law condemns everyone. No one can be saved by his own works. No one can claim to be righteous before God by his own works. No matter how good you think you are, or how much better you think you are than others, the law condemns you the same. Everyone deserves to go to hell. However, the gospel saves everyone. There's no one the gospel does not offer free forgiveness of sins and salvation. No matter how bad your sins are, how undeserving the kingdom of heaven is, the gospel offers it to you freely for Christ's sake. Although the gospel offers salvation to everyone freely, not everyone receives it. This is because it can only be received through faith. Faith is how the gift of eternal life is received. So what is faith? Believing and trusting the promise. When you believe that God is gracious to you and forgives all your sins for Christ's sake, then you receive his grace and forgiveness. And nothing, absolutely nothing, not your sins, or Satan himself can take that grace of forgiveness away from you. That is by faith, is why faith makes it clear that it does not depend upon your works, because your works are riddled with sin. Your works put your salvation into doubt. But faith clings to Jesus alone, which makes your salvation trustworthy and your salvation more sure. No one, now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. It can't possibly get any clearer than that. Your works do not earn your righteousness. Faith makes you righteous by God, before God, by trusting in him who declares the ungodly righteous. Just so, the master of the vineyard gave a full day's wage to those who had hardly gotten to the vineyard because they trusted in him. Now some might accuse this of cheap grace. There's nothing cheap about it. The master didn't hand out counterfeit money. He paid those who worked for an hour a full day's wage, just as he paid those who worked the whole day. He gave away his money to those who trusted in him. That is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Christ Jesus paid the debts of your sins. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that they might receive the promised Spirit through faith. You see, grace is not cheap. It is given to you at the cost of the precious blood, for the innocent suffering and death of God's own Son, Jesus Christ. There is literally no price higher, no treasure more precious. The fact that it is given away freely to those who do not deserve it does not make it any less valuable. The denarius the last workers received was worth just as much as the denarius the first workers received. It bought just as much food and clothing. Nevertheless, if someone were to treat faith as a cheap thing, as if the grace it receives is not expensively wrought, then that would not be faith. If a sinner were to interpret faith as a license to sin, he would not have true faith. It would be like someone hearing a call to come to the vineyard, but not entering the vineyard at all. He would not receive the denarius. The vineyard is a holy Christian church here on earth. One enters the holy Christian church through faith. Still, in order to have faith, you must be called. Just as the workers did not enter the vineyard until the master went out and invited them in. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is how this free forgiveness and salvation is given, through the proclamation of the gospel, so that it may be received through faith. Because it is a matter of faith and not of works, the master will not stop calling until the very end. Just think of it. Who calls day laborers at the very last hour of the day? They hardly have any time to work. Still, God calls until the sun goes down. Christ may return this afternoon for all you know. Nevertheless, until then, God will still be calling. He continues to send out his ministers to preach the free forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake. And so this parable not only teaches you that you receive your reward from your Heavenly Father by grace through faith, and not on account of your works, but this parable teaches you that God is still calling more people to come to his vineyard and to see that he is good and that he is gracious. Today there are people outside the vineyard who are currently laboring in it. They are outside, but God wants them inside. He doesn't want them standing around idle. He calls them as he calls you. He desires their salvation, even as Christ Jesus poured his blood for them. And this should be your desire too. You should not be ashamed of the gospel, to desire all to believe as you do, since it is the power of salvation to all who believe. Jesus uses a parable about workers to teach you about grace, which is salvation without work. You are not saved by your own work, but you are called to work. Nevertheless, the work you are called to do is not like the work which weighs down the works righteous. Jesus calls you to come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now this might sound strange,
when you remember the great labors Christ bears for the sake of the kingdom, persecution, mockery, hatred, and the like. Nevertheless, Jesus calls these yokes easy. Why? Because you bear them through faith in Christ. You do not labor under a heavy-handed master who wants to make sure that he gets what he pays for. No, you labor freely under him who desires to give his kingdom to you as a gift. You do not box as one beating the air. You do not labor in vain. You know you have a reward stored up for you because Christ Jesus has earned it for you. If the world lays on persecution and hatred, this cannot take away your reward from Christ. Rather, it gives you greater confidence that you bear his name. Nevertheless, those who think they must earn their way resent every pound that they must carry, every minute they must labor. They resent those who get paid the same as them because they think that they have earned more. So in their act of proving to themselves that they are more righteous, they prove to God that they are not his by hating their neighbor whom God loves. The law lays on a heavy burden, and only God's grace and forgiveness can lift its weight off your back. Those who wanted to be paid the wages of their laborers were told to take their payment and go, and they left the vineyard. And it is like the hymnist put it, but they have always resisted his grace, and on their virtue depended. Since then he condemned and cast out from his face, eternally lost and unfriended. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus. So dear saints in Christ, those who received the gift through faith remained with the kind master. This is how those who remain in the vineyard of your Lord, through faith in his grace and forgiveness for Christ's sake, and through faith in God's grace, you will be content to labor in his vineyard until you are welcomed into the heavenly eternal vineyard. Because through faith in Christ, you know your labor is not in vain. Amen. Now the peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Right.
pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Master, you have gathered your servants out of every nation in all hours of life to labor in the vineyard of your church. Give us thankful hearts and make us glad for those who enter in at your invitation, that with them we may praise your holy generosity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father of all, you have built your one holy church upon the rock of Christ and ordered her according to your gracious will. Instill in her pastors a godly wisdom to know your word thoroughly, and in her people a patient spirit that waits on your heavenly provision. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, give to us Christian homes the endurance that comes from your Holy Spirit, that husbands and wives, parents and children may be disciplined and self-controlled in their duties, run their course in this life, and continue to the end in the holy Christian faith, ready to receive the imperishable wreath of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism, we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Amy continually by your word and spirit, that she may faithfully keep the covenant into which she has been called, boldly confess her Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, shed your grace upon the nations of the world. Suppress evil and injustice in every place and establish your peace, that the poor would be comforted and suffer no lack. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Great physician, be near to the sick and the suffering, especially Patricia, Eric, Carol, Richard, Steve, Kathy, Jerry, Ruth, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Ligia, Tammy, Gordon, Deb, Mary, Wally, Shirley, Billy, the Langton family, and the Leslie family. Bring them healing, hope, and peace at the last. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Master of the vineyard, we are entitled to nothing and deserve only your wrath, but we are bold to ask for everything by grace in Christ. Grant us repentant hearts, trusting faith in your promises and unity of confession, that all who receive your true body and blood in Holy Communion this day may be strengthened through the forgiveness of sins for a life that abandons sin and idleness and lives in joyful service to our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray. Grant that we would look to you for every blessing and to your Son for our salvation. Deliver us from all adversity and preserve us in faith until the last. To you alone be all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Thank you.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. That of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee.